As we go into today's message, we're going to get into today's message in a bit, but the kids will go downstairs. I think Kim is waiting for them, and she has great activities planned today for the kids. Also, as we go through today's message that God has put in my heart, let's just worship God in our giving. If you are visited today, just don't feel obligated to participate in giving, but just if you put your contact information so we can get in touch with you, that would be great. Earlier I asked, is everyone comfortable? Is everyone comfortable? Comfortable where you're sitting? Great. Wonderful. This morning I'd like to tell you a story. A story about a boy who grew up in a country far, far away. How many of us like stories? I like stories. I really like stories. I like non-fictional stories. But let me tell you a story about a boy who grew up in a far, far country, away from here. When he was about 12, his parents gave their lives to Christ. And the boy, for a long time, for about a year or so, just didn't want to do anything with Christ, didn't want to have anything to do with Christ. It was really hard for him to understand why his parents would give their life to this foreign god. And there were enough gods and goddesses in that country, but why a foreign god? But then one fateful day, as he was reading from New Testament, he came upon a verse in Matthew 11:28, where it says, give all your burdens to Christ. Matthew 11:28. Someone, anyone remembers? Come to me, all ye weary and burdened. Come to me, all those who are really struggling. Come to me, all those who are really don't have it together. Come to me, all those who really don't know why they're living this life, and I will give you rest. And that day, that boy realized that only Christ, Jesus Christ, can give peace and give meaning. And he gave meaning and peace to his parents' lives. And that day, he decided to also commit his life, receive Christ in his life, because he understood why his parents needed Christ and why he needs Christ. So when he was about 13 years old, he gave his life to Christ. And then it's been a wonderful story. Since then, it has been a wonderful story. Christ has led him through many things, faithfully in his service. And then that boy became a man, and he was called to come to another country, a foreign country. He was brought to another country where he didn't know why, other than marrying a beautiful and wonderful God-fearing woman. He didn't know all the things that God had planned, all the things that God wants to accomplish through him. But he came, leaving everything behind, just like Abraham. Everything behind, all ties, all families, all friends, came into a new country to start almost over. Everything new. A new family, a new church, new friendships, new people in his life, new things. And now he's 29 years old. And that boy is me. Why am I sharing that with you this morning? Because God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. But sometime in that purpose and plan, all we see, the sky is dark with cloud, red with storm that's coming. When God calls us, all God wants, God doesn't want credentials. All God wants is a willing heart, willing spirit, who's willing to lay down everything in his life. And when he sees that heart, he claims it and keeps it for himself. And then he takes us through a process, just like a silversmith or a goldsmith takes the precious metal through a process of purging, so that the goldsmith could create beautiful, sparkling jewelry, ornaments out of that metal that will beautify this world. God has called each one of us, each and every one sitting here, to create beauty. God has called all of us to create beauty in this world. Let's open our Bible to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. You know, in that story of the little boy, the parents actually had decided to end their lives. I left that part for now. They had decided, my parents had decided to commit suicide because they couldn't take life anymore. And in the Eastern culture, the parents just don't commit suicide. They take the entire family so they don't leave orphans behind. But the Lord had a purpose for my parents, and the Lord had a purpose for me. And he intervened that night through a Jesus film team, Campus Crusade for Christ, Jesus film team. They came in town. They showed the movie. My parents watched it with me and gave their life to Christ. It took me a year to understand why, but when I understood, that was the day for me. You know, God has called each one of us with a purpose, with a mission, or call it a calling, whatever you want to call it. He has called us with something that He has for us. Isaiah chapter 61, these are the verses that Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. When He stood up there in the synagogue in His town among His people, and He quoted and He said, "This is why I have come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, so I can bring sight to the blind, so I can free the prisoners, so I can bring the good news of good tidings to men." Jesus stated His mission, His purpose to a room full of people. And He followed it through until His resurrection. Last 6 months in my life has been very interesting at times. there have been up and down. There have been weeks when there have been a great time of understanding God's purpose, God's vision, God's mission that He has placed in my life. There have been days and weeks when I have really wondered, what is it that God wants me to do? How does He want me to do things? Why does He want me to do things? And those questions are not because that I'm questioning whether I should be pastoring, whether I should be following Christ, whether I should be doing His will. Those questions have been more for, okay, why? Those questions have been more because I have let my focus off. Because I have let go of what is most important in life. I don't know where you are in your life, but God knows. And because He knows where I am in my life, He communicates where I am. This week was tough. Without going into details, this week has been tough due to many things. But in that toughness, in that time of despair, in that time of feeling lonely and alone, and in the time of contemplating on, okay, Lord, what are You trying to teach me? What are You telling me that I need to do? What is it that I need to understand? What is it that I need to learn through this experience? Here is a verse that He taught me from. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And the reason you don't see that on the screen is because this is not what I intended to share this morning. We had a different message. We were going to continue on the key purposes of the church. We were going to talk about discipleship today. Okay. But I wanted to share this with you because I do feel that there are some people in this congregation who could identify with that, and there, and all of you could use what I'm sharing today and the rest of it, use in your growth with Christ, or share it with someone else who could use it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, in the New Living Translation, it reads, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you." Have you ever wondered, does God care? Have you ever wondered, you know, really, why are these things happening to me? Why am I going through the emotions, the experiences, the things that are trying to bog me down, torn me down, pull me down? Why? Why can't I just live a normal life? We always think that our life is not the normal life. Why can't I just, you know, sit down and, you know, relax and not have to worry about these things? The thing is that we worry. The thing is that we care. I'm not using the care as in, I care about you. I'm using the word care as in, we start caring about things, the things that don't really matter. Oswald Chambers, one of my favorite authors now. I had read his book, My Utmost for His Highest, in the past, went through it. But I was just going through it as a devotional. Sometime it made sense, sometime just through the motion. Don't look at me like, really? I know you have done that too. But Oswald Chambers writes, and actually it's today, you know, another way of God talking to us and saying, you know what? I'm here for you, whether you know it or not. Give all your worries to me because I really care about what happens to you. So Oswald Chambers writes in today's November 23rd devotional, he says, beware of the cares of this world. They are the very things that produce the wrong attitudes in our soul. They are the very things that produce the wrong attitudes in our soul. It is incredible what enormous power there is in simple things to distract our attention away from God. Refuse to be swamped by the cares of this world. So, my friends, this week I have been really bogged down by the cares of this world. I have been worried about my parents in India, my sisters. I've been worried about money. I've been worried about how people are treating me. Some of them were fabricated by myself. My own emotions, my own feelings. But some of them were true. Some of them were really done. And I was in a quest for vindication for some time. You know, the biggest enemy, we think the devil is the biggest enemy of us, trying to always pull us down. But actually, I think we are the biggest enemy of ourselves. Our lust, our desire for vindication. I had this attitude, I must prove us. People need to understand. People should understand me. They don't understand me. I need to explain myself. I have to make them understand. You know, I need vindication. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? And then he says in 33 and 34, chapter 6, 33 and 34, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I have quoted that verse so many times to so many people. I've preached in the last 15 years of ministry, in the last 11 years of being involved in some capacity, in a speaking capacity, I probably preached from that at least 15 times. But what was I doing? I was doing the exact opposite thing than what the Word of God calls me to do. Now, I'm being very open and honest and vulnerable to you, and this is going on recording, so there will be other people listening to it as you pass it along. I'm not doing this to throw a pity party. I'm not sharing my struggles so I can be vindicated. No, don't come to me after this message and say, I understand. Thanks for explaining. I don't need that. I've already taken care of, the Lord has already taken care of that, because he says, give all your worries and cares to me because I really care about what happens to you. I'm sharing this because I felt this morning that this is what the Lord wanted me to. Last evening, one of the friends and someone that I have really grown close to told me something. It was only one sentence, and he said, have you wondered that all these things that you're going through or that you're experiencing might have a implication that you need to share it with the people in the church? And so that's why I'm doing this. And I think in the days to come, I'll be sharing more of the lessons that I am learning. So here are three things that I learned from my experience this week. Number one, God has a mission and purpose for us. Just like He did, just like He Himself, Christ Himself, God incarnate, had a mission and purpose, and He endured everything. Read Isaiah 53. Isaiah 61 comes after Isaiah 53, right? Isaiah 53 describes what the Son of Man, what the Anointed One, the Messiah, will go through. And our struggles, our problems don't even compare to what He had to go through. He followed through His mission, His calling, His purpose in life. He did. And that's why you and I are here. If He did not, don't even think about where you might be. So number one, God has a mission, a purpose for our lives. And we need to follow through. 61, Isaiah 61. The reason I read that, just read every verse. Just break it down wherever there is a punctuation. And you will see individual callings. You will see individual purposes that God has for us. All to bring peace and beauty in this world. In the lives of men and women. Broken. Don't have it together. Just like us. So number one, God has a mission and a purpose for our life, and we need to stick to that, regardless of what. May what come, we need to stick to that. Number two, that when we go through all these problems, issues, situation, God is right there with us because He cares about what happens to us. But you know what? You and I may not feel the presence of God for one reason. If we don't seek Him in that situation, then we will not find Him. What does Hebrews 6:1 I think says? For those who seek God, they must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So number two, God really cares about what happens to us. And He will communicate in the midst of your trouble and issues and situation if you will go to Him. If you will, instead of turning to people and telling 10 people what you're going through, looking for vindication so that they can understand you, so that you can explain it to them, so explain it to the Lord, because what does the Bible say? Vindication belongs to the Lord. The Lord will vindicate His righteous. It is not my responsibility to, it is not my calling to vindicate myself. And I did that this week, and I feel so ashamed now. I went to a couple of people and I just talked about my issues instead of turning to the Lord first, instead of telling Him, Lord, I'm going through this and I don't understand this. What should I do? What do I do? Instead, I went to people and said, what should I do? What do I do? And they had their own advice and suggestions. Number three. In all midst of that trouble and issues, He wants us to seek His kingdom and His will. He wants us to put Him first. So number one, realizing that God has given us a mission, a calling, call whatever it is, a purpose, and He wants us to stick with it no matter what. Number two, He is with us. He is there for us. He has an answer for us if we seek Him in the midst of that trouble. And number three is that we need to make Him our priority. Because seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 we read. But I do need to bring in 6 in the picture. Chapter 5, verse 6. I am not saying this that I'm humble, but it did take me some courage to stand up here and share it with you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. So I don't know what you are going through, but when I humbled myself under God's mighty hand, He lifted my spirit and He renewed my mission, He renewed my vision. And He can do the same thing for you if only you will let Him. I'm not done. It's not completed. It's a work in progress. He's continuing to show me. He's continuing to show me what is most important in my life. And He will do the same thing for you if you will let Him. What is most important? What is most important? And it is following God and seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. I don't know how you want to end your story, but I know how I want to end my story. When my time comes to go from this world, I want my story to read. There was a boy who lived in a far, far country away. He became a man after God's own heart. And that is the purpose that all Christians should live to become, a man or a woman after God's own heart. There is nothing else in our lives. The world likes to judge us by how many inches, you know, inches of our waist, square footage of our house, luxury of our car. Is it when I sit down, does it, in the winter, does it warm my behind or not? Or the tag of our clothes. The world likes to judge us that way. That's the standard. Christ doesn't judge us based on that. And it's hard to realize that, believe me. It's hard to realize that. It's hard to really get rid of how the world compares us, judges us. It's very easy to fall in that. How much, you know, how fat my wallet is, how thin my waist is, how big square footage my house is, and how luxurious my car is. And nowadays, is your TV HD? But Christ doesn't judge us. Christ calls us. And the only thing that He will look at us is, did we live after His own heart, or did we pursue the things of the world? And I have made a promise to myself Saturday. Actually, I made a promise to the Lord. I will pray every day for myself that I don't pursue the things of the world. That I will pursue the things of God. So really, the choice is now yours. How do you want to build your life? How do you want your story to read? There was a boy, there was a girl who became a man, a woman, after God's own heart. We only have one chance. Either we mess it up by missing it, or we really use it and become great. Let's bow down our heads and let's just pray before we end this and today. Lord, Heavenly Father, You are so great. You are wonderful. You are amazing. And You are enormous. You are ginormous. You're gigantic, enormous. And we try to just comprehend You, figure You out in our head, figure out what Your plan and purpose and will is for our lives. Sometimes we even want to figure You out and say You don't exist. But you keep proving us wrong. And You just wait every turn of the road, waiting for us to just tell You, come to You, seek You, find You. And Your clues are not just here and there hidden 6 feet under the ground. Your clues are right there in front of us, obvious to us. All we have to do is just take a look and turn around, and right there You are. So this morning, Lord God, I thank You for reminding me of how my story should end. Reminding me that You care about what happens to me. And thank You, Lord God, for giving me the courage and the vulnerability to be able with the people that You have put together here at Agape Community Church. Lord, I pray that we all will seek to end our story as a man or a woman after Your own heart. And that, Lord, every day we will know in our spirit and heart that God cares about what happens to me. And I am precious. And that He has a mission, He has a calling, He has a purpose for my life. And no matter what happens, what comes, there is still, He is constant, He is there. And He wants me to seek Him first. Make Him priority. Everything else is just peripheral. God, I thank You for loving us. And I pray, Lord God, that as we go from here this morning, that, Lord, we will make You priority of our lives. Truly. That we will get rid of the masks that we wear, that we'll get rid of the faking it, but really, truly, real. Just make You priority and grow our relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen.